I'm Desmond Graham, and I'm going to read Dreaming of Rilke from Unaccompanied, which I published in 2014. Dreaming of Rilke. All day, daydreaming through feathered grass and the spread of daisies underfoot, of Keats and Tennyson, while others laboured at their shots or caught high-hit cricket balls like fruit, and knowing no secrecy about it all, until they found your sonnets out of Shakespeare and gave you your first public hooting as you tried to wrestle back your script. And some years later, meeting Rilke in a large French-windowed room, his back to you and head down as you entered, half turning patiently to give you welcome and politely rising, pausing till you spoke, and on your silence asking, was there anything you wished to ask him? Just ask, and he would answer. And from the far side, your own voice, eagerly, in earnest, tell me about the First World War. Silence. And that look on Rilke's face of disappointment, puzzlement, and possibly a little pique, but too polite and elsewhere in his pride to show it. And all the lines you could have asked of, all his angels, animals, and wonderful false friends of writing waiting in his head to answer, went back to their places in the dark rooms of his making, and he turned and sat back at his desk. I woke, feeling like the fool who threw away three wishes with his stupid questions, or the dolt who sold the milk cow on his way to market and lay there in the darkness, holding Rilke's silence like a handful of beans. When I am writing, the world is full of the most unimportant and remarkable coincidences. They don't always happen, though surprisingly often they do. You wouldn't believe them or think them important, just heard as a sequence. But when the first is observed, and the second sometime later is there before your eyes, a lorry, for instance, Batley of Burscough, on the A1M, alerting the mind to a tired joke about the length of vowel passing through the north. And again, past the roadworks, overtaking Batley of Burscough. Still curious, still wondering, how could it be there in front? And 2 days later, after a night out in Liverpool, opening 20 new poets and reading the title of the first poem you see, At Burscough. No one would believe it. No one would think it worth the bother to. Do get a life. Come on. Get real. And living with writing poems every day and waking to them at last, after 12 months and more of waking to news from the doctor, from some loved one's illness, and much more, and wishing them better. It is good to be real and find on a motorway, somewhere just past Wetherby, and then again by Burscough, or Boroughbridge, or Batley, a high green lorry with old gold lettering on both sides and at the back, with its sounding syllables, Batley of Burscough, which comes and is taken note of, wondered at, and disappears into traffic, just like a poem. The Attic, Mannheim, 1978. Not quite the flash of lightning, and certainly no horse or roadside ditch, but a sloping roof with snow muffling the sounds of outside, and the contents of a room settled, though the air still stirred, just as she had left it, on the way downstairs, with you a step or two behind her. And now, back forever in that attic flat, above the street where children sent their shouts and laughter as the sign that it was day and you could walk, because the planes which flew from England and the rubble that remained had all been cleared away. And what was now most needed was to keep the place intact. The large key on the table, bright light reflected from outside, a square of darkness from the skylight, every evening where you wrote in silence, and the stirring of the air as if someone, just that moment, left the room or had come in, and the cold of winter could be taken off as easily as a coat.